Blog Talk Radio.
Nobody's stopping my side. They try to break me, try to pick me up, but I'm gonna change it on my side. So bad I thought of it tonight. But ain't no power stronger than the one who came and laid down his life. And I got multiple times. But the enemy can't stop me, cause there's a calling on my life. So when I'm crying, don't last too long. The big old step in and make it alright. Wonder how you sleep at night. Only do it, I guess you will. Anybody tell you something different, you know that's a lie. You gon' look back and be so amazed how it turned out, it's only his grace. Only do it, he said he would.
So I trust him at all times.
I'm about to lose it again. I'm about to let him know. He's always listening. Ain't nobody perfect. Everybody's hurting.
I need a whisper, the Lord, save me from my weaknesses.
Cause they're always on time.
Come and get your breakthrough. Cause I'm gonna get mine.
Only do it. You said you would. Fight your battles for you. They gon' wonder how you sleep at night. Only do it. I guess you will. Anybody tell you something different, you know that.
The greatest victory of my life.
Cause when it comes at your best and hard,
there's only one that can come and make it right.
So ain't no need for stressing and crying. Cause he gon' show up just like he did the last time. And the last time. And the last time. I know, I know, I know.
Only do it.
Only do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Say what else.
Fight your battles for you. They gon' wonder how you sleep at night.
With you again. I am Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host of Talking Sports Plus. And I'm hoping everybody having an outstanding, a very exciting night tonight. This is Wednesday, hump day, a couple more days. You'll be in the weekend having a ball. But we're coming to you with some of the hottest topics, what we call the hot button topics of the week. And we want to talk with you and want you to be a part of this as well, because we want you to call in. The call in number is 347-857-4192. And if you want to go to the web link, you can go to the web link and you can hear the show at www.blogtalkradio.com/LD Smith Production. And like I said, we're very excited. You know, I have one of my team members here so far, and the rest of them are going to join us in a little bit, hopefully. And we're going to talk some sports tonight. It's going to be bang, bang. I call it bang, bang time. Before I move forward, I want to make sure everybody understands the music we're playing. We don't have a right to it, but we play it. And we just want you to kind of enjoy our show and be a part of it. Now, when you call in, make sure you want to, you know, if you just want to listen to the show, you can listen. But when you call in and want to share your expertise, press 1. We'll identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, and then ask you to come on and identify yourself. Hey, let me make sure I introduce one of the co-hosts that's with me, and I always appreciate this young man being with us every time. And And it's just so exciting. You know, I always try to give him a great introduction like I do all the rest of the team. Now, this guy ranged from the south down to South Alabama, all the way from Dothan over to Op, from Op up to Troy, and Troy to Greenville and Montgomery and whatever else in between that. He's known as Darrell E. Train Elliott, captain, the coaches of the airwaves. We call him the coach of the airwaves. Darrell, how you doing, sir?
Doing pretty good tonight, man. Glad to be on. I'm hoping that the King jumps on and touchdown as well. If not, we just got to do what we got to do.
Yes, sir. We got to do it like we supposed to do it. Just hang on in here, and I believe they'll get with us in a little while. So, again, it's been a hot, hot week so far. There's been a lot of hot-button topics. But when we're talking about hot-button topics, we're going to go with the one starting today. Now, remember, the theme of the show or the title of the show is Sports Hot-Button Topics of the Week. So we want you to make sure you share. If you got a topic that we omit, we want you to add your thoughts on it. So we'll look forward to making sure we talk to you. But before I go any further, I got to introduce our King. That young man, we call him King because he has all the expertise and knowledge of sports. And we want to make sure we introduce him in the right way. He reigns from the north, not up in Canada, but he reigns from North Alabama. And he's the one that has that thing. He's that coach that already tell everybody, you know, ain't no fun when the rabbit had the gun. But he had the gun, and he's firing away at it. It is none other than Coach Tremaine Edwards. Give it to us, Trey.
How y'all doing tonight? How y'all doing tonight? Helping one of my boys move. Glad to be here, Dr. Smith. I'm ready.
I'm glad to have you. And Darrell, glad to have you as well. Right,
Lord Jesus, King. Lord Jesus.
Yeah. He said, Where's the King? Now, touchdown total. We don't know where you are. If you're listening, we want you to join us so we can make this thing happen in the right way. But we're going to do it regardless. As I was saying, you can also contact us through Facebook, more or less, not so much Facebook. I've been on Facebook today. But email, we give you email at talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. Tweet the show at talkingsportsplus, number one, at Elliot Darrell, number one, at Tremaine Edwards, number seven, and at Kiwi underscore don't underscore care. That's Coach Lauren. So we have it. All the tweets, you can tweet us this way, tweet us that way, email us this way, but we want you to share your thoughts. But the best way to do it is to call in, 347-857-4192. All right, let's get this thing started, the hot-button topics of the week. I sent out a log and sent out a format all the time, but this topic came today. And when it came, it hit the newsstands, and it was just burning. And it's dealing with Urban Meyer, the coach of Ohio State. Dealing with the situation of having to fire one of his coaches, his receiver coach, Zach Smith, because of domestic violence. And the talk has been all day. We want to know, should Urban be fired because he stated in his conference, the Big Ten conference, media day last week, he said that he didn't know anything about 2015. But the ex-wife of Zach Smith came today and went live and said that he did, because he told the wife, Shelly Myers, about what was happening, sent pictures. So that's back in 2015. Now we're talking about first case in 2009, second case in 2015. Now we got this situation going on. And Urban said last week, so the talk is, should he be fired? Share your thoughts on the team, because it's on and it's popping. Let me hear from you right now.
Well, let me tell you this, man. You know, you got this situation where the Me Too movement is going on. Women are speaking up for themselves, which they always have been. Don't get me wrong. But now the spotlight is on that because of our government and the officials in the government, these things coming out. Lots of times these coaches or anybody will sometimes try to sweep things under the rug at the cost of the woman. And that's what this has cost. It has cost this lady, for sure. It's cost her physical harm, emotional harm, probably harm to her entire family. If they have children, harm to them as well. So if in fact she has done what she has said she's done, showed them to Urban Meyer's wife, And so surely he knows. You got to think that he knows. And he should do the right thing and confess and tell everybody the truth and then resign. He should walk away. Because the reality is he should be ashamed, because at the expense of somebody's life, he's trying to keep a coach on. And that, to me, is a terrible, terrible thing for that lady and for his team. And that's what my two cents on it. What you say, King?
I agree totally with you right there, Barry. If he did it, now is it evident that he did it, Dr. Trim?
Yes, there's a copy of the police report from 2015 that he was arrested for domestic violence.
Okay, he's barbecued, Dr. Smith. He should go leave right now on his own before the school fires him. They are not playing with this domestic violence stuff. He should go on retire or do what he needs to do, Dr. Smith.
And that's and Trey, you know, I came in early on an early broadcast on Facebook and Instagram, and those are my sentiments the same, because the truth of the matter, the same way we had with the GM that was at Philadelphia 76ers, his wife out there tweeting, and he's telling her things, and she's tweeting it out. This is a situation where the young lady says that she talked with Shelly Meyer, who's also an employee of Ohio State University as a nurse, a registered nurse, and told her, now we get into the Title IX situation. Title IX saying that you have to have mandatory reporting and reporting of situations if you know it, if you're an employee of that university. So now we're at a real sticky situation. Now, when the interview with Courtney Smith, and I'm just trying to share a little light on it, I want you to also, if you have any thoughts about it, to share a little light on it as well. I want everybody to understand that when Courtney Smith came, she came broadcasting live today. She said, I talked with Shelly Myers, which is Urban's wife. I sent pictures to her, and she said that she didn't know whether she told Urban or not. Urban said he didn't know about it, but the point is she told Shelly in 9 times out of 10, that's enough evidence in the case to say that Urban knew about it. However, Urban did not respond, kept him on staff. So 9 times out of 10, this is not a good situation for the Ohio State University, because, you know, they always talk about the Blue Bloods in football. So when you're talking about them as the Blue Blood, this is not good. And if the action wasn't taken like it's supposed to, then they should be dealt with. Urban should be gone. Without no problem, put somebody else. So, you know, that's my one thing I'm putting in on it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I want to say this also. Anytime a high-ranking official, like just say SEC football or whatever football, and you have a situation where someone has several domestic violence charges and there's a police report. Now, the university might try to sweep it under the rug with the police department. You know, high-figure or high-paying sponsors of the football team might have picked it up and swept it under the rug. But somebody knew. Somebody knew that this was going on. Somebody knew. And I believe the head coach knew, and he's playing the game. And the bottom line is, if he don't step down, all of this is going to eventually come out. And he going to lose bigger if he stays there as opposed to walking away now. I just wanted to say that.
Awesome. Awesome, Darryl. Awesome. Yep. Okay. All right. And that's what the hot button topic is today. And it will be for the next week or two until some decisions are made. Ohio State haven't said anything. Urban said he didn't know anything about it, and he called the other guy fake news, and this guy, Brent McMurphy went out and found the story, had her to tell what happened, report, police report, pictures and everything, and Shelly Myers knew about it. I'm going to have to say Urban knew about it. Coagulo, his wife, put all of it out there. So he knew she was out there on Twitter. So the bottom line I'm talking about with the Philadelphia 7 and the same thing here. And if it's happening, as you know, mandatory. If you're a public servant, a servant of our community, you're just an individual. You know what's happening. It's no longer can we step back. And we're going to talk about this. We're not take long. We're not going to talk about it. We're going to take a step back, like they used to say, well, it ain't my business. It is your business. And when you have people hired on your staff and you know they're doing this, you have to step up and report it, because it become an issue with Title IX. See, Title IX is not just dealing with males and females sports. It's dealing with the protection of females in sports or anywhere around sports. It didn't mean it just have to be a player. It could be a wife, okay? It can even be a so-called where you got some cases significant others, unfortunate, and you're in this common law thing. So the things that are recognized and with Title IX, if it's out there and you don't report it, they're going to deal with it. So that's the hot button topic for today, and we want you to call in. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. All right, team, let's kind of look at some NCAA college football. Let's look at some football. Now, last week we talked a little bit about the battle between Tua and Jalen, to the point where how Alabama was going to use them in a different form. We discussed this way beyond where you would normally go, and we want you to do the same thing. But we want to look at some other quarterback battles and other teams. I just want to kind of place a few of them out there, Jake Fromm and Justin Field. We talked about them last week. We had a situation with Trevor Lawrence and Kelly Bryant at Clemson, and Georgia was Fields and Fromm, and with Francois and Blackman at Florida State, and then also the situation at Ohio State with J.T. Barrett leaving, and now we have Dwayne Haskins. So tell me what you think about other quarterback battles that's going to be at the front of the on the front stage or in the front of the news in regards to other teams, and how we feel they're going to play out. Give me your thoughts on that.
Come on, King.
I got you. Bobby Smith, I'm going to start with Alabama. It's going to be very competitive. Right now, they're saying Tua has the edge. That's word. That shot to my phone the other day. Now, like I said, I think Nick Saban will go with Jalen and come with a two-headed monster. But like we explained last week, Alabama's football schedule is very terrible. It's horrible. Number two, the Georgia competition. Fields is one play away from getting on the field. I think that guy in Georgia, what's his name, Bobby Smith? He's a game manager. He game managed the game, so he's not going to do nothing to beat Georgia. But that fits into the blueprint at Georgia. Fields is an Al Gore, more like Tua of Alabama. So it's going to be very competitive there, too. Another quarterback battle that no one's talking about is Stidham at Auburn with Stidham and what's the black kid now? I don't know his name, Dr. Smith. But that kid looked very good in the spring game. Now, I don't know if he fits the offense better than Stidham, but he's an option. I think he will get a couple plays this year just for his dual threat capability and so on. But that's a quarterback battle, too, that a lot of people aren't thinking about. He's one play out. If Stidham go out, I think this guy take the reins and roll with it. So those are my three battles right there. Yeah.
Okay. And I kind of, like I was, I added a couple more, and I'm going to add some more that we're going to be watching for this upcoming season, Trevor Lawrence and Kelly Bryant. Kelly Bryant, as you know, was a starter, and he came in. He's probably been so much better than Watson. But it seemed like now they feel that Kelly Bryant is more of a game manager, like Jalen Hurd and he can't do all those other things. Whereas Trevor Lawrence, you know, one of the top rated quarterback in the country. He has an arm like a rocket, but has but 5 pounds on his body. And I think that's going to be his biggest problem, taking those hits. He's a tall, slender kid, and he needs to put some weight on him if he's planning on taking them shots, because every now and then you're gonna get one of them linebackers coming out AB and block on the blitz, and they go, even with the rule where you can't put your helmet, but when you put a 260-pound body on a 180-pound body, sometimes that ain't going to feel good moment. So that's a good chance that you're going to see both of those quarterbacks, but that's a big battle in Clemson, so we're going to keep an eye out for that one. DeAndre Francois and James Blackman, as you know, DeAndre got hurt last year, and then Blackman came in and got a lot of reps. So the question is, who's ready to play? Because the point, Francois had a issue himself with someone in the beginning, I'm going to say a female, and he put himself in a bad situation. So at Florida State. So you got another situation going on there. And we're going to kind of see if Blackman is able to step up. You know, one of Blackman's biggest problems was last year, you know, he's got one of them frail, tall, slender frame as well, just like Lawrence. He took a lot of shots last year. He took a lot of shots, and a lot of those shots took their toll at the end on him. So his point is he'll put a few pounds. I understand he put 15 pounds on. So you need to put it. That's why I'm saying the problem with might be with Lawrence. So we're going to keep an eye out for that battle. All right, but I do want to. Yes.
The boy he was talking about at Auburn, his name is Joey Gatewood. And they say he's a dual threat. Of course, you know, he's ranked 49th nationally. But he's a dual threat quarterback, and Auburn has decided from what I'm reading that they're gonna do pretty much the same. They're gonna have two quarterbacks this year and to see how that works out. And I think that's gonna be a good stance for Auburn. I hate that Auburn is where they are right now. I do believe they need a new head coach. But Auburn is not a sloppy team. I mean, a lot of people don't want to give Auburn no love, but Auburn is not a sloppy team. And with the right mix out there on the field, they can be a formidable team this year. But Joey Gatewood, that's his name, and I think you're gonna see, and he's from Florida, by the way. I think you're gonna see some pretty impressive stuff out of him this year. That's what I had to say about that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And Darryl, I tell you, that's a good thought. It's Gatewood. He come in. He's electric. He was electric down in Florida, so he's gonna be. These young guys now are coming ready to play. Some people say he's a freshman. That don't have nothing to do with it because they play 7-on-7 like you out there throwing water out the back door, and I know many of you don't do that. But that's how they play 7-on-7. They've been playing this area since they was 12 and 13 years old. So when they get out there, you can't do nothing on defense that can confuse them because they are very cerebral in regards to knowledge about football, where people should be. You know, everybody was so amazed about what happened with Tua in that championship game on that 2nd and 26. You know, it always said that you look the safety off and then quickly come back and make the throw. So the point was they so used to doing that. They've been doing that all the time, ever since they probably 12 or 13 years old. So it's gonna be enlightening to see Gatewood out there giving that battle over there at Auburn. I know that Stenham is the quarterback, but giving that battle So we'll get a chance to see that. So we look forward to having that opportunity to see that individual out there giving some help to make sure Auburn offense is potent. All right, now, the other quarterback situation, and I'm going to kind of talk a little bit there. I'm going to throw you out there because it looks like we end up dropping Tremaine. He's going to call it, but the King is going to call it back, but he ended up dropping him, so he'll call us back in a minute. The situation dealing at Ohio State, not talking about Urban Meyer, but their quarterback situation. With JT Barrett, leaving after being there 25 years, but that's being sarcastic, 4 or 5 years. Now we're dealing with Dwayne Haskell. Is there's going to be a – do you feel like it'll be a big drop-off there with the that person? I mean, Dwayne Haskell is more of a dual-threat quarterback, and JT Barrett was a dual-threat quarterback when he came there. And he lit it up his freshman year, and he maintained. With the replacing of Barrett with Haskell, is it you think Ohio State will miss a beat with that change, or either they gradually will they be more competitive?
Well, I think they're going to be just as competitive. I don't think that Urban Meyer would miss a beat at all. I think he's chosen the right quarterback for what he has. You know, you have the young man Tate. What's his name? Tate Martell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have Tate Martell there. So I think with Haskell, he has more of a from what I read, he can manage the game a whole lot better. But Martell is not sloppy, so I don't think they're going to miss a beat. Now I think this latest scandal is what is going to end up hurting the team overall, and that may cause a distraction for them all. So, but as far as the quarterback is concerned, I think they're going to shake out fine. The quarterback battle, of course, heading to 2018. Is a two-way race between Haskell and Martell. You got to remember that. Now, Urban Meyer has experience with this kind of depth chart and drama. He has that. So I think he has chosen the right one, looking over the depth chart and go, okay, let's go with Haskell first. He has the better depth chart. And I don't think they're going to miss out at all.
That's right. And Trey, I know you're back with us. You know, what's your thoughts when we're talking about JT Barrett leaving Ohio State? Will he leave the cover bare with Dwayne Haskell taking over? What do you think exactly is what kind of impact would Dwayne have?
That will be key. So JT Barrett just now said he's leaving, Dr. Smith?
You know, he go, his time is up.
Oh, yeah, now his time up. Now he... Yeah,
you've been there 20 years.
Yeah, I'm with you totally right there. But where is he leaving it going? Is he going to a swag school or what? Where is he going?
No, his eligibility is up.
Okay, gotcha, Dr. Smith.
He's done now. Now he's turned the reins over to Dwayne Haskell, who's coming as a sophomore, I believe. Yeah.
Okay. With Ohio State right now, Dr. Smith. It's not going to take much. They're going to make a coach look good in that Big Ten Conference. They got high-caliber players. I don't think they have enough to get over the hump in the playoffs, but they will make some noise. They will. It don't matter who their coach is. They will make some noise.
Okay. And that'll work. See, that's what it's all about. You know, you have their players, 5 stars around – all over the field and running back, wide receivers, linemen. So, you know, you can get a quarterback that has the ability not to turn the ball over and make great things happen. So we'll look to see, and that's a good thought in regards to that. Let's look at Lamar Jackson leaving, as we know, drafted and going on to the Ravens, who possibly going to be pushing Joe Flacco for that position. What does that do to Louisville in trying to replace him? What happened to Louisville with the replacement of Lamar Jackson?
Dr. Smith, they're in trouble. Lamar Jackson was a Michael Vick type of player in college. He took over college. He did the unthinkable. As of right now, they're in trouble, Dr. Smith. And the first game of the year with a 20-point, I think right now it's 21-point favorite, that number will go up. Looking at training camp and watching how crisp everything is, that will go up. So I think Louisville is in trouble, Dr. Smith.
Okay. All right. Exactly.
Juwan Pass. Juwan Pass, I think, doesn't have, if I'm right about this, what this team needs. So he shows promise. And in the spring game, it looked good, but everybody's looking for another Jackson. Everybody's looking for another Jackson. And, you know, those type of players don't come a dime a dozen. That dual threat, that to be able to fool everybody out there on that field and run for 20 or 30 yards. That type of player just doesn't come a dime a dozen anymore. And they're hoping, they have high hopes for Juwan, the new guy that's coming in. But the reality is I have to go with the King on that. They are going to struggle because they had so much on one person to take that team to the next level. They didn't have the strongest depth chart on the line. They didn't have the strongest depth chart in special teams. They didn't have the strongest depth chart in defense. And all their apples were in that backfield at that behind that hiker, that quarterback. And so they have to scramble. And they're going to have to make some serious adjustments. And perhaps they have. I have not read a lot about Louisville. But I know from whence they came in this last season and where they have to be now. And so King is right. They're going to have to do some real adjustments or they're going to struggle.
And struggle they will. I just agree with both of you all on that end. I think it'll be that first game is not a first game that you want or anybody want to be taking on. Probably is the best defense even before they even hit the field. And you got to go against it. You got the best planner out there planning for you. And you have never seen this kind of situation, watching guys run as fast as these guys run, hit as hard as they do, and in every position. Now, Alabama's going to be young in the secondary, but I still think, you know, that front seven is going to be really important for Alabama. So this is going to be something new for Pass. And Pass going to have to make the adjustment, but I just don't see that happening in Orlando on that first weekend, which is September the 1st. They'll be playing down in that first, we won't call this no kind of classic, but this first game between ACC and the SEC. So we will look out to see what's going on now. You can join us as any other individuals that have an opportunity by calling in at 347-857-4192. And if you want to share your thoughts about the quarterbacks and those quarterbacks we talk about in the battles you may know of, you can just press 1 and then make sure you listen for the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I will make sure I allow you to jump in here and share your thoughts by telling who you are and where you're calling. So we're really excited about having you a part of our show so you can be a part of not only this on the web link, but also by calling in, and the key is giving us a call, and you can just listen to the show or you can take an opportunity to share your thoughts as I just gave direction. All right, next thing we will kind of look at now is Bryce Love, and I think this is something always in the line when you're dealing with media. You have to be kind of careful when you say something. As you know, it will come back to hunt you. And this was dealing with Bryce Love. Bryce Love did not show up for the Pac-10 media day because he refused to miss class. So Dennis Dodd, one of the senior editors, he's been with ESPN, he's been with several other reputable papers and magazines, stated that Bryce Love absence does set a dangerous precedent. This is going to give every star player an excuse to Skype in. Try to envision Tim Tebow in his heyday skipping SEC media days because, well, school. Right or wrong, this wouldn't have happened. The need to better himself, the conference, and his school would have outstripped it another summer school lecture. Let's talk about that, bro. Let's talk about that because I thought they was in the school. Yeah, this was Dennis Dodd.
Well,
he made this. Yeah, go ahead on there.
Okay, so it's media day. All right, he should have been there to represent the Pac-12. He's a star player. He wasn't there. He was in school. It'd be different if he was in Hawaii and vacationing. The man was in school. Football, he go out there and he break his leg and he can't play after the first game no more in life. What then? What did media day mean to him? But that education means everything to him. And that you have to respect the man. And if somebody want to say he's using his star power to not go to media day, does he have that type of attitude? Is he a sarcastic kind of person? Is he a person who thinks he's better than anybody because he has star power? Or was he in school because he realizes that education is more valuable than being out there playing football? That's my question, and that's my statement about that, because you can go on all day about it, but the bottom line is he was not in Disneyland. He was in class.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're so right there, brother. And that's what my problem and a lot of other pundits and talking here was on that too as well. Now, when they just talk about going there to play football to get to the pros, don't worry about education. You complain about that. But you have a young man doing what is supposed to be a student athlete. And that's what we have to understand, a student athlete. He's a student first and an athlete second. He chose, and he's majored in human biology. He wants to be a doctor. This is all the time he can get this class in the summer. He can't get it in the fall and can't get it in the spring. I'm not trying to justify what he did, because whether he showed up or not, his class was more important than showing up at a meeting. And the school knew that, the university knew that. They allowed him to Skype in. They thought it was okay. The problem I have is these individuals sitting around as reporters feel like they can do and say whatever they want to say to put, just like shut up and just dribble that ball. So LeBron shows that, told that. Now you telling this kid, you could have skipped to just a summer school lecture, but you majored in human biology, which getting you ready to be what? To go into medical school. I don't understand that.
You know, Dr. Smith, sometimes I hate to say what I'm about to say, but I have to say it. I can't help but lean on stuff because this is the world we live in. This young black man, and I use the word black in this, I'm playing the race card in this. This young black man.
Yes, sir.
Is trying to better himself in a sport that's becoming more and more predominantly black on the field, but less and less predominantly black in the hierarchy. So I'm saying to you, I think he did the right thing. I think that he is poised for success in his life because he's making those type of valuable, and I use the word valuable strongly, those type of valuable choices in his life, because he realized, well, however good I am in sports, tomorrow I may be nothing in sports, but this education you cannot take away from me. That's my two cents.
And that two cents is great. That's like a 2,000 to 2 million cents right there, because that makes sense. And we got to understand that, yes, our kids, our young people play sports. It's great, the great opportunity to sign these $40 million guaranteed. But the bottom line is you don't use that opportunity while you're still in college to get an education and get your degree. And it ain't one of the run-of-the-mill degrees. He's moving toward being a doctor. And you're going to say that this set a bad precedent? This set the best precedent in the world. Now athletes make a decision. I'm going to go to class. I'm going to go sit and talk to you. He's choosing to do what? Go to class. Hooray.
Right.
And I'll applaud him, and I'll applaud every athlete that makes that effort to do what's right. So, you know, that's enough said on that topic. We're gonna kind of take our step away. And like I told Darrell, Tremaine had a drop in here. He's going to call us back. But, you know, he's moving around. He's traveling. So he's going to make sure he calls us back. All right. The next thing we want to look at is in regards to the Big Ten consisting of Ohio State, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Penn State, compared to the SEC, which is Alabama, Auburn, and Georgia. Which one of the conference are stronger, the strongest conference out of those two? Which conference would consider to be the strongest? Now, I named 5 teams in the Big Ten. I named 3 teams in the SEC. What's your thoughts on that?
Dr. Smith, you know, I'm an SEC fan, and many of us in the Deep South are. Stat-wise, you know, Alabama shores up a lot of the SEC for us. But I can't say, statistically, I cannot say that the Big Ten is just as strong as the SEC. But I can say that they're almost neck and neck if you want to take a real big, if you want to take an overall picture of it, team for team, and putting those stats together, 3 = 5, Big Ten versus SEC. But if I had to pick, I would say right now, because of its popularity, because of its climate of because of its climate of recruiting, that the SEC is the stronghold right now.
Exactly, Darryl, and that's what it's all about. The team that wins the golden egg will always consider. I'm sorry, the conference that wins the golden egg always going to consider to be the best. They strong. Whether you got one team or the coach, it only could be one team that's going to be champion. So it don't make it. But it was so amazing this past year, I think people forgot. Who played for the national championship? Wasn't that Alabama from the SEC West? Georgia from the SEC East? Who also was an SEC champion, won the championship? I didn't see Ohio State. I didn't see Penn State. I didn't see Michigan. I didn't see Michigan State. And Wisconsin, you know, they got left out because Alabama booted them, squeezed in there, and everybody didn't agree, but we ain't going to go into that discussion today. But we want to say. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I got a question for you, and I can't remember, but I know it was a few years ago when Ohio State beat up Alabama, and they had this black quarterback, and this boy was a big truck. I can't think of his name. Do you remember this boy's name?
I know who you're talking about, and I can't think of his name now. But he replaced J.T. Barrett because J.T. Barrett got hurt, and then he came in.
Right.
But he's in the pros now. He's in the pros now. I just can't think of his name right now. But, yeah.
And that's what I wanted to know. Where did he go? Because I didn't hear anything else about this boy after that season was over. And I was like, he had to go somewhere. You know, but I couldn't remember his name. He was just a nobody who became somebody instantly because they beat up Alabama that year.
Exactly, and he did get a chance. He's on a team as a backup quarterback now. He's a huge size kid. He's about a 6'5", 6'6", 240, 250. He's a big dude, and he just ripped Alabama to pieces on defense. He came in and they just went through him. And J.T. Barrett was there. He was like maybe a freshman then. He might have been a freshman or a sophomore. And J.T. Barrett broke his leg on by the 10th, 11th game. And he came in a ninth game. And he kind of went through Alabama. So the thing about it, yes, you know, that's an opportunity. Ohio State won the national championship that year. They won the national championship. But that was actually been the first year of the college playoff. So in essence, it just has to, you know, eventually it's going to get better because, you know, Florida State got it before, but that was during the BCS era, you call it. So the point is, Ohio
right.
State, out of the last 4 years, they won the first one, but who went in the second one and the third one and be poised to win the fourth one and poised to win and look at to be win the fifth one. And that will be your. So we're going to let the SEC have that one. Now, since we're talking about those two conferences, let's talk about the Power Five, the worst two conferences in the Power Five out of two conferences, Pac-10 and Big 12, consist of UCLA out there, USC and Washington, compared to the Big 10, Oklahoma State. And which two of those are the worst? Because, you know, the ACC stands by themselves. They up there in that area with the SEC and the Big Ten. Out of those two.
It's going to be the Pac-12. Uh-huh. That's the word. it's going to be the Pac-12. But you know, Dr. Smith, I wonder, you know, these schools, the Pac-12, why can't they get any momentum as far as getting strong players up there? I've often wondered about that, and I see, like, I was watching the Mountain West, which is a conference we never talk about. You know, Nevada and Wolfpack and all of them kids out there, they have some really good players, and some of them ease right on into the NFL, but you never hear about their conferences. And I'm just wondering why the Pac-12 are not getting more of those Midwestern conferences and some of those players on their teams rather than letting them go to smaller conferences and then walk right past them into the big game. I just was curious about that. But, yeah, the Pac-12 is by far the worst in that soup bucket right there.
And you're so right, Darryl. And just kind of add a little light to what you're saying about the Pac-10. I'm probably the Pac-12. They might be the Pac-3 if they were they. But, you know, let's go Pac-12 like what they are. We're not going to insult them. Mario Cristobal took over Oregon this past year. He took off at the end of the year, and then he coached in the bowl. They got beat. But he'll be the head coach this year. Cristobal was at Alabama, then was at Florida Atlantic, and he's out of Florida. One of his players said in the Pac-10 media days that the difference between the program before, you know, even when Chip Kelly was there, and now was they actually have to go to the weight room. They said that when Helfert and Kelly was there, they didn't have to go to the weight room. They chose to go to the weight room because they wanted to keep a finesse. But since Cristobal come out of the SEC and come out of Miami, University of Miami, and then he had down in Florida Atlantic, they got to go to weight room. He said it's been a whole different experience for him, and that's what one of the kids said. Just to piggyback off what you're saying there, they're the weakest. Their teams are the little weak teams. Now, USC been kind of strong. They were strong enough to get blasted by Alabama. They've been strong about pretty much get blasted by who they play, Ohio State, Notre Dame,
right.
Somebody they played got blasted. But the point is, from top to bottom, they're the worst. And they're going to get left out even more. Now, talking about the Pac-10 and the SEC, this is not going to determine who's the better conference, but on September the 1st in Atlanta, Georgia, you got Auburn University versus Washington, University of Washington. So a lot is at stake in regards to conferences. We talked about this previously in regards to conferences and how they will proceed after that game. So Auburn's going to be carrying the load for the Southeastern Conference, and Washington will carry the whole Pac-10 load, everybody, when they come to play on September the 1st. And if I'm not mistaken, they're an early game, like a 4 o'clock game, so everybody will be watching. It'll be about the same time as Alabama State when they're playing Tuskegee over there in the Hornet Stadium, which is historical black college football over there. They'll get a chance to play. So we'll kind of see who's going to be the weak one out of the two in regards, and you'll see how weak Washington. Washington's been kind of strong staying in the game, but that's the only team. The other teams are not holding up their end. USC holding the basement, but everybody else is going through the motions. So we're going to kind of keep an eye out for that. Now, let's kind of move to our next topic. I'm still waiting on Coach Tremaine to get back with us. As I say, as he said, he was traveling, so he lost connection, but he'll call us back. Looking at the historical black colleges and universities, and I want you to call in. Call in numbers 347-857-4192. Share your point of view about the SEC, the Big Ten, the Pac-10, and the Big 12. Which coach in 2018 will have a successful season in regards to historical black colleges? And this is whether in the SWAC, if you're going to pull a team out of SWAC, the SIAC, CIAA, or the MEAC. You can pull out one or two coach out of that coach that you think will be successful if things work out right from the beginning of the season?
Coach, I think Alabama State University's coach has brought in a different feel, a different way, a different look, a different game plan. I think Alabama State is going to have the most success that they have had since the Houston Markham days in this season.
Okay.
This is my theory, because Alabama State University, I think, has finally, with the new president, who happens to be a good friend of mine, has taken a different approach on how they handle their faculty and how they handle sports on the university. So kudos to Alabama State University's new coach and the upcoming football season.
And awesome. That's a great selection, because that's one of my selections as well, with Donald Ely Hill, Coach Hill. And also, I think Coach Maynard at Alabama A&M will have a successful year. Now, when you measure the success, whether it's a 5, 6, 7, or 8-win season, it's possible for him. So it's possible that because he's starting off with Miles. Alabama A&M is starting off with Miles. So they're going to have a great opportunity up there in the Lewis Crew Classic up in Huntsville. So they're going to start off with that great opportunity to play Miles first and kind of, get things started. So I'm looking at both Hill and Coach Maynard for Hamner. Then also looking over at the CIAA, which is, I believe, again, Virginia State will be successful with Coach Reddy Ballo. Will be successful up there. Also in the SIAC, I just believe it's an ongoing thing. Even though I think they're going to take their lump on September the 3rd, the Tuskegee University will continue to have a successful 2018 campaign, and they'll win the SIAC again with that one loss, which they will get in that first ball game. And then you have other teams without, the MEAC that will have a real strong North Carolina Central come back strong again this year, as well as A&T. And you will get an opportunity to see A&T. You will see A&T on the 25th of August right here. Now we're talking about 24 days from now in Crampton Bowl at the Credit Union Classic, or that first game over there where they'll be playing Jacksonville State. So come out and support North Carolina A&T. So you'll get a chance to see some historical black college football matching up with Jacksonville State out of Alabama, which has been at the top, pretty much strong in the FCS for years. So we'll get a chance to see that. So we'll see some positive things going on there. All right.
Dr. Smith.
We're going to kind of – yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I want to ask you a question. I have seen Tuskegee over the years be – at the top of their game many, many years. And I wanted to get your opinion as to what is you think that is their formula for winning the way that they have year after year after year.
Okay. I'm going to say with Coach Slater. Coach Slater is the coach. I didn't mention his name when I was talking about Tuskegee. Coach Slater has been there probably 9 or 10 years now. And his former started off was he was able to bring in some – because, as you know, the transfer rule, you can transfer from Division I, AA, Division I down to Division II. Or you can transfer from up from Division III to Division II. He brought in several players and kind of fit them into his scheme. He has a physical offensive style. He has a physical defensive style with speed on defense. And some of his guys – and I'm going to just say the majority of these guys fits in the same mold as the SWAC teams. So that's his success to come because he's actually operating at that FCS level down at the Division II level. And everybody buying in. That's another
reason. Thank you. So really and truthfully, the best recruiting coaches that know how to get the right players and put the right form together are the ones that have the best chance at winning. I got you.
Exactly. Exactly. And, he put those players in the right position and get them to come up. He had several players. As a matter of fact, I think this what happened this year was kind of strange coming up this fall, and you'll kind of see this when you were talking about one of the team earlier. His quarterback, which was the kid behind that started, what had started for 2 or 3 years, who's going to be the starter for Tuskegee coming up this fall, transferred to Alabama State. And he's giving that battle. We hadn't talked about that battle, but there is a battle going on. Because this young man's a long ball thrower. He's accurate. He more like Tua. And then you got a Jalen with the other quarterback there. So the point is, he lost a good quarterback, but he has players replacing him there. And I applaud Coach Slater for making sure Tuskegee is top on the top, competitive, competing with the SWAC, as well as dominating the SIAC. So that's one of the key things. All right, we're going to kind of take us a large skip over here, which if you allow me to, Darrell, we're going to talk about a little bit LeBron and a little bit more Kawhi Leonard. I want to fit because we're still talking about LeBron. We want to applaud LeBron for opening up the school, I promise. A lot of young African-American males and females, as well as other diversity groups, to be a part of education. It's not a charter school. It's not a private school. It's a school that are offered. It's a public school offered for these young people to have a successful opportunity. It's all about a start. So we applaud LeBron for doing that, and that happened yesterday. Also, we're going to talk about LeBron signing his contract to make him officially a Laker. Now, we want to talk just a little bit about him adding the cast of characters he had added to him. Rondo, Stevens, McGee, Beasley, and then re-signing Caldwell Pope. Can he win? Can the Lakers win? That's the question.
Well, you know what, brother?
The man
just put together his version of his own dream team. Now, next year, who will Magic Johnson add to that roster? That is going to be the icing on the cake. So he can win, Coach. He can win. The Lakers going to be the team in 2019. Watch what I tell you.
And I agree with you 100%, Darrell, because everybody said he's a bunch of misfits. That's what said. That's what the pundits and talking heads say. I have to get loud with that because that's what we're talking about. We're different from them with a plus. But they said they're misfits. But I look at acquiring Rondo, you got a point guard with championship pedigree, also physical. Lance Stevens, physical. McGee, he can guard the basket. Michael Beasley, he can be a finesse and physical. And giving Caldwell Pope back just to go along with them young guys, I think that's what they needed. And they're not talking about running and gunning with Golden State. They talking about getting up in Golden State chest and try to keep on. If they don't get Golden State, they're going to give Houston a fit and everybody else a fit because these guys are mature and they know about it. So the Lakers signed these guys a one-year contract, varies from $5 to $9 million. So we'll see how. But in 2019, as Darrell said, it's a year that the Lakers really make things happen, but they set it up to happen, make it happen.
And I'm going to say this. And Golden State does not like a physical team. They don't like to play a physical team. They just don't.
Nope.
That, to me, Golden State, now they got some super weapons out there, but they can't stand a physical team. And if the boys, the mature men go out there and play them boys for 4 quarters and beat up on them, the Lakers going to pull this off next year.
Oh, yeah. And I'm in agreement with you. And if you disagree with what we said, call in 347-857-4192. And what you need to do is press 1, and then I identify the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number and ask you to join in the conversation with introducing yourself and your location. All right, we're going to kind of speed it up. Our time is of essence right now. It's two topics I do want to talk about it because it involves two professional players. Really wanted three, but we'll do with this. Kawhi Leonard, and it just with the trade of Kawhi Leonard to Toronto, was this a big gamble, or was this put Toronto in a position to win the Eastern Conference championship? Tell me what you think. Tell me what you think about Kawhi Leonard going to Toronto. Was it a big gamble on their part? And we talked a little bit about last week. Can this put them in a position to win the championship in the Eastern Conference?
No. That's the gamble I said I wouldn't have taken. But, I mean, he has his reasons, but I just don't see it. But it's too many changes at Toronto right now. And I don't see a whole makeup of a team to be able to go and win that championship on that side of the earth. I just got to say no on that. I'm going to keep it simple. No.
There you go. And we're going to keep it simple right there. We say no on Talking Sports Plus. So you can let us know how you feel about it. All right, next player on that professional level we want to talk about being in the news. Name is who? Carmelo Anthony. Tell me what you think about him going to the Rockets. When he gets to the Rockets, can he help them get past Golden State and get to the finals? Can Carmelo help them?
Well, you know, I think Carmelo did. It was a plus for them. Houston is already, in my mind, a really good team, and they are one of the higher, let's say, richer teams in that conference in the whole NBA. They're the top five anyway. But I'm saying to you that with Carmelo going there, it was an addition to the team, a plus for that team. They have a better chance now of doing what they need to do. So the answer, yes.
All right, we got a yes on that, and it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a fight out there with 18, but I think three going to stand above, and we know Golden State out there. Houston closely behind them. And we see that third team on this show is the Lakers. Watch out for the Lakers. So we'll see what Carmelo do to make the Rockets even more successful, which they have two of the greatest players in Harden and Paul. And Melo going to come in, and he can light it up. We know he can light it up. All right, the last thing we're going to just look at before we close this show out is that the NFL, the Atlanta Falcons, extended Julio's contract. Because as y'all know, you've been in a box and haven't been in a cave and haven't been aware, Julio was not showing up for anything. Volunteer workout, training, preseason, he wasn't showing up until he got an extension. On last Friday, they decided to give Julio the extension. $2.9 million this year, and next year they will renegotiate. Now, keep in mind, Julio had 3 years on his contract. However, they chose because his holdout would not allow the Falcons to do what they need to do. Was that good or bad for Julio?
That was the best thing in the world to happen for Julio. Julio Jones is a superstar football player, and he brings a dimension to the Atlanta Falcons. He brings – Julio Jones is all – keep playing Julio, and you're going to be as good as Jerry Rice one day. That's the way I see it. And Atlanta, they may think they have something that might be better coming down the road, but I don't see anything better than Julio. Julio got the depth. He got the numbers. Julio's the man. Yes, it was a good move.
And I agree, and the show said we all agree. And if you agree or not, you can always text or email me and let me know. Email is Talking Sports Plus, or you can just tweet us at, you know, at Elliot, Darryl, number one, even one of our co-hosts, you can, and as well as the show, at Talking Sports Plus with the number one. So, you know, we had an awesome show tonight, Darryl, and I do appreciate you being here and enjoying the moment. And we just did this thing in a tag team, and I know the King had to leave out of here because his phone went out on him because of his travels, but we had an awesome show. And, again, I always say I appreciate you joining us, Darryl. I just want you to say your kind words to end the show up and anything else you want to leave with our listeners, and we'll go from there.
Roll Tide. Y'all have a good one.
And you have a good one as well, Darryl. And I just want to leave this with all of you all that's listening. We do appreciate it on Talking Sports Plus. But on Friday, we'll be coming with Ballin' with the Doc. That's myself hosting. We'll have some more topics. The hot topics that we didn't cover tonight, we'll go on and talk about them on Friday. You can join us at 4 o'clock Central Standard Time, 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We'll be working five different things. We'll have an Instagram live. We'll have Facebook live. We'll have Blog Talk live. We'll also have our speaker podcast going on at the same time. You can join us 4 o'clock on this coming Friday. So, you know, we had a great night. I told you we're going to have a bang, bang time. If you didn't get a chance to call in, you listen to us on the web link, you can do it on Friday or come back on Monday when we have Talking Real to You, when we talk about real life issues, and we'll get back with our regular Wednesday show like we do every Wednesday. So I'll tell you like this, hashtag keep on grinding, and then on the second part of that, hashtag, and I said it Smith way, but on the most important thing, I love you all, and we love you all to death, and ain't nothing, nothing you all can do about it. So I just want to tell you, you have a heck of a night, because, you know, God is good to each and every one of us, and we just like to share this moment with you and let you share your thoughts through Talking Sports Plus. So, you know, I went back and reached back and grabbed something from a long time ago, and if you hear it, we don't own the rights to this music, but I want you to kind of listen to me and tell me what you think about this version of that long time ago guy called Vanilla Ice, and this is Ice, baby.
Yo,
we have a wonderful time. That's what I'm talking about, and we'll see you talk with you next Wednesday. Good night.
And listen, Ice is back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly, flow like a harpoon daily and nightly.
Will it ever stop?
Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow. To the extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal. Light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle.
Damn,
crush a speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom.
Deadly,
when I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony. Love it or leave it, you better gain weight. You better hit bulls out of kids, don't play. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves. Continue to A1A. Girls were hot, wearing less than bikinis. Rock men lovers, driving Lamborghinis.
Jealous,
cause I'm out getting mine. Shade with the gauge and Vanilla with the 9.
Ready
for the chumps on the wall. The chumps acting ill because they're full of 8-balls. Gunshots ranged out like a bell. I grabbed my 9, all I heard was shells.
Falling
on the concrete real fast. Jumped in my car, slammed on the gas. Bumper to bumper, the avenue's packed. I'm trying to get away before the jack is jacked.
Police on the scene,
you know what I mean? They passed me up, could run it all, but don't mean if there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook when my DJ revolves it. Take heed, cause I'm a lyrical poet. Miami's on the scene, just in case you didn't know it. My town that created all the bass sound. Another shake and kick. This is a hell of a concept. We make it hype, and you want us to twist it. Shape plays on a fade, slots like a ninja, cut like a razor blade so fast. Other DJs say, damn, a rhyme was a drug, I'd sell it by the gram. Keep my composure when it's time to get loose. Magnetized by the mic while I kick my juice. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while DJ revolves it. Get out of here. Word to your mother.
Ice, baby.